The healthcare detective Frank Lally has written a book for Simon & Schuster about how to get affordable healthcare. Called Your Best Healthcare Now, it is available online, in-store, wherever fine books are sold. Mr. Lally is also the health correspondent for Parade and the former editor of Money and George magazines and a senior advisor to healthcare.com. And here he is.
Yes, here I am on this really sunny day here in Connecticut with the snow coming down. So let's start with an update this week, Jill, about my cousin John and his family. They got the coronavirus after going to an outdoor party. I want to give you the latest on that. And then I want to also discuss in detail the government shutdown of the one-and-done Johnson & Johnson vaccine. So John's story just lit up the internet last week because it underscored the risk of getting infected with one of the newer, ever more contagious variants even after you've been fully vaccinated. You're not completely safe even though you've been fully vaccinated. So I reported last week that John and his wife Joyce had their second Pfizer 1 week before going to a family party. But it's actually in getting infected. But it's even worse than that. They got their shots 16 days before the party in late March. So they were both fully vaccinated 16 days after the second shot. Yet John tested positive the next day, along with his unvaccinated family. That's his two daughters, their husbands, and his three granddaughters, ages 7 to 11. Now, John's doctor thinks one of the granddaughters brought a dangerous newer variant from her classroom, she was going to school 2 days a week, into the party. And that makes sense because the Pfizer, that's the one they got, right? And they're fully vaccinated with Pfizer. That's 97% effective against the B117 variant from the UK that's become the most common variant, certainly here in Connecticut and around the country.
But can I interject for a second? Because I believe the Tel Aviv University study is showing that it is not as effective against the South African variant, which is possibly what she had. And Pfizer haven't they just come out? Yes, CEO of Pfizer came out yesterday and said, well, anyway, you're going to have to come get more shots.
Right. Exactly.
And possibly yearly. So it's
Exactly. 2 points I was just about to make, because it's far less effective, maybe only 60%, maybe even only less than that, against the number of variants. Not just, the South African variant, the Brazilian one that's scary, to California, there's one in New York. I mean, God knows how many variants are out there that the Pfizer will not, and the Moderna and the J&J will not protect you against. So doctors all across the country are reporting hundreds of what they're calling breakthrough infections. That's of fully vaccinated people getting the coronavirus, fully vaccinated, but you get the virus anyway. In a number of states, Jill, South Carolina, Utah, Washington State, Oregon, hard-hit Michigan, all of them are reporting 100 to 250 breakthroughs out of around 1 million people each. So that's part of the reason, as you point out, that Pfizer just announced that we'll need a booster against the troubling new variants. And that's probably within the next 12 months after you've been fully vaccinated. And then you're probably going to need a shot against the coronavirus every year like you get a flu shot, obviously. That booster it's not going to do any good for John's family, right? It's way too late, it's not around. It can't help them at all. Now, he got two infusions of the monoclonal antibodies because he has a very compromised immune system, and I'm happy to say that he's feeling much better this week. Good for John. But his 46-year-old daughter, Tara, has pneumonia in both lungs, and she's on steroids resting at home, and we wish her well and a speedy recovery. But the lesson here is very clear. I mean, you get fully vaccinated, keep your guard up even after you think you're fully protected. I've got to wear your mask in public. You got to social distance. You got to do all the things that kept you safe up to now. So, Jill, yes, what do you make of these breakthrough infections?
I have no comment. No, seriously, because the other no, because again, we were going to, and obviously, I'm very, very sorry for these complications and issues. And we were going to explore emergency use authorizations. And I heard somebody ask Marshall today if they thought it was safe for them to do something. And, you know, there seems to be an extant assumption, and I'm trying to be diplomatic here, that a mutating virus is going to stand still for a vaccine. And it
does not.
Nor will it.
Yeah.
But this is either going to become a career for a lot of people, or we're going to have to figure out how to work around it. And something that doesn't get sufficient attention is that there are therapeutics, and that it is the recovery rate for coronavirus is actually now better than the success rate for the vaccines.
Yeah, but you don't want to get it. And so look.
I'm not saying you want to get it. None of this talk. And the other thing that isn't discussed at all is people who have immune systems that are and have protected them.
Yeah. Well, that's all true. But look, it sort of gets us to the story of the week, and that's the CDC, Center for Disease Control, and the FDA shutting down the one-and-done Johnson & Johnson vaccine because it very rarely may cause potentially fatal brain clots. So the vaccine makers are doing all they can to downplay that risk and blunt a tsunami of vaccine hesitancy and stop us from getting to community immunity. Herd immunity is the phrase more commonly used. And the media is going along, and okay, but they're going along in some cases with really nonsense propaganda. And the one that really bothers me is you hear over and over again that this risk of these brain clots is one in a million. One in a million. How many times have you heard that this week? Now, it's true. You just do the basic math. Six people got these brain clots out of 7 million who got the J&J. But, okay, so that works out to one in a million. Oh, simple enough. Everybody can do that math. But all six women were the ones who got the vaccine. It wasn't just generally everyone. It was just women. So women make up about 61% of people who've been vaccinated. So you got to factor that in. For men, no one got it, right? So for men, your odds are one in infinity. For all women, just basically, it's about 1 in 700,000. That's still awfully high, but hold on. All six of the women were of childbearing age. That's 18 to 48. When you factor that group into it, the real risk for 18 to 48, I figure it's somewhere about 1 in 100,000. So you can say, hey, that's still very high, 1 in 100,000. But it's not 1 in a million. That one in a million is 10 times higher. Okay, I mean it's just your risk of getting it is at 100,000 versus one in a million is 10 times higher. So the vaccine industry and the press keep drumming this one in a million, and it is not true. It is not accurate, and should be stopped. So what do you make of that arithmetic, Jill? And particularly, why are people hearing it first on Robin Hood Radio? I've heard this nowhere else, right? Why isn't the media reporting the real risk rather than this one in a million nonsense?
Beats me, but what also is just horrifying is the number of people who got their medical information from the media, which is sad.
Well, you count on the media. Now,
it's not the media. I mean, it's no, you, and this is possibly going to earn me a non-universal approbation, but you would think you would count on your medical professional.
Well, they're in the middle of trying to figure it out.
Yeah, but they know how to – I'm sorry to interject. They know how to figure this stuff out, and they know how to – in a way that is different than your average newsreader.
Well, I know that the CDC has done the arithmetic that I did, and they haven't reported it. But why? Because of this vaccine hesitancy and carefulness and so on. But why isn't the media doing a better job? I mean, I think the media is reluctant to feed vaccine hesitancy. Maybe that's a good goal. But the worst thing you can do is not level with people. I mean, that just builds more distrust. That's counterproductive. So here are the facts. Now, generally, right, all three of these vaccines, the Pfizer, the Moderna, the J&J, 80% of the people who get side effects, 80% are women. That's because women have more robust immune systems than men, and the vaccines ramp up our systems, and it causes chaos. Usually it's just a flu-like symptoms for a day or two. But the Johnson & Johnson alone, not the Pfizer, not the Moderna, can very rarely interact with a young woman's hormones and create these dangerous blood clots in the brain. The mystery is that the clots patient's platelets decrease. Now, ordinarily, if you have low platelets, that puts you at risk for bleeding too freely, not for clotting. So the best information I've gotten, including from Dr. Eric Rose right here in Sharon, suggests that the Johnson & Johnson can decrease and increase platelets, sort of at the same time, like a seesaw. And it seems that women can use up their platelets fighting the clots. So you end up with low platelets and dangerous clots. Now, at least that's one theory. But right now, the government is not saying that for sure. So we're just in suspense here. So the CDC and the FDA just shut down Johnson & Johnson. They call it a pause as they gather more data. It's going to take them at least another week. So Connecticut's Governor Lamont, among others, says the authorities are overreacting here. They're erring on the side of caution. And I think he has a point. The FDA's in many – the version of the FDA in many European countries – have stopped giving a very similar AstraZeneca vaccine to this vulnerable group. And the vulnerable group is the women under the age of 50. That's the group. And Denmark has banned AstraZeneca completely. I don't expect the CDC to do that. Dr. Sarah Lynn Mark, who I interviewed this week, she's with the American Medical Women's Association, told me that she will not be surprised if the CDC puts restrictions on who should get the Johnson & Johnson vaccine going forward. And Dr. Mark also said, I would think quite intelligently, that scientists should be studying whether young women should have fewer side effects if their doses were lowered. Okay, so that should be studied, whether the women should have lower doses so they have fewer side effects, compensate for their robust immune systems. Meanwhile, if you are a young woman who got the Johnson & Johnson within the past 2 weeks, do not panic, okay? If you develop flu-like symptoms, that is not a sign of clotting. But get to a doctor if you suffer a very severe headache or a pain in your stomach or legs, or swelling of your legs, a terrible backache, or easy bruising. Any of those, call your doctor immediately. So, Jill, what's your point of view on that one? I mean, do you think the CDC and the FDA are overreacting here by pausing Johnson & Johnson?
No. And the reason – I'm yes, sorry. Where I come down on all of this and from the various research that I've done, and again, I cannot sufficiently emphasize the word experimental and emergency use authorizations and there's just not enough data. And if you have a situation where a population is being adversely impacted, I think that it's incumbent upon you to find out what the bleep is going on before you start lashing it out again. And I also am skeptical and have been for ages. So you can just say, hey, that's just Jill. But I don't think that necessarily the reported numbers of adverse reactions and the actual number – I think that there is knowledge within a community, just as there was knowledge of during the crisis, the crease of COVID last year when no one knew anything about it. There were many medical professionals who knew what to give and you know, in a situation which was different than what was being coming across the wires, shall we say. Yeah. So I'm just giving you the reasoning why I am saying, no, I think you have to shut it down until you either figure out a plausible story or can limit it to that group of people.
Yeah, let me underscore something here, though. These vaccines, and I mean the Pfizer, I got two Pfizer, sort of my wife, Carol, that we were fine. These vaccines, the Pfizer and the Moderna, are extremely effective against this virus. If you get it, your chances of being hospitalized are very slim, and chances are you will not get it. They're very effective, 90%, 90, 95%. The problem is the variants, and obviously the industry is working as fast as they can to develop a booster vaccine that will protect you against the variants. So the safest thing you can do is to get vaccinated. That's the safest thing you can do. With the Moderna and the Pfizer, keep your eye on what is recommended about the J&J. I think what's going to happen with the J&J is it's going to be restricted. Women under the age of 50 or 48 or something like that would be told, don't get the J&J. Get the Pfizer, get the Moderna, and they'll be fine. Keep your mask on. Keep your guard up. But please, for your own safety and for the safety of everyone else, get fully vaccinated as soon as you can.
Thank you, Frank, the healthcare detective and senior advisor to healthcare.com. Send your questions or concerns about finding affordable healthcare to healthcaredetective@robinhoodradio.com. Frank will try to address as many of your questions as he can on future broadcasts. Also, look for his book, Your Best Healthcare Now, available online, in store, and quite naturally on my desk.